Your 603 Urban Māori Radio, Shane Jones is with us each Tuesday. Thanks for joining us again, Shane. Tēnā koe.
Hey, tēnā tātou katoa.
Thanks, Shane. Hey, what are you making of this bloke overseas? He keeps bagging us about our Defence Force spending, and we seem to be climbing into it, Seahawk helicopters, big costs, etc., that New Zealand's freeloading. Have you had a chance to talk with Winston? Obviously, it's a foreign affairs issue, but I thought you might share some gut feelings about what this bloke Hegseth is all about and the pressure it's putting on us to sort of marry up to US expectations, Shane.
Well, he's not only saying it about us, he's rabbiting on about a variety of others as well. I mean, we're within parameters that we have to define ourselves because of our fiscal constraints. We're spending quite a bit of dough. We've got a long way to go. You have to go back to Helen Clark's time because she regarded New Zealand as living in benign circumstances. And maybe back then that was the position that New Zealanders felt. But the world has got a lot more challenging. And bit by bit, no doubt, each government will increase our ability to upgrade our military hardware, increase the number of actual soldiers, members in the military. I think there's possibly more we can do at Marsden Point in terms of once we get our dry dock up and going. Obviously, I'm keen to increase our ability to develop our critical minerals sector, and that will have an application along with Korea, Japan, America, and like-minded nations. Not all of it will have application to the military, but it will contribute to technology, because often military issues now are technology issues. But no, I don't take too much notice of it, bro. It's just a bunch of noise, and let's face it, a lot of geopolitics. It comes down to trying to sift through what are the facts, where's the progress, and what's the inevitable rhetoric and posturing throughout the world.
Tēnā koe. Okay, well, fair enough. It is unnerving, though, to see rockets, missiles, and drones, crossing borders with monotonous regularity in the Middle East. And the impact on us is, of course, rising fuel prices. Obviously, the cost of living is going to be one of those determinants to the outcome of the election. And the frustration is palpable in communities across New Zealand as everywhere we look, prices are on the rise. I guess you've got to accept that, though. Can we go to the Ahu Whenua Trophy and the importance of the horticultural and agribusiness sector to Māori business development going forward? What are some of the strong initiatives that you're proud of having advocated for in this space as Minister for Infrastructure and the like, Shane? And what do you make of the quality of those who were acknowledged on Friday night?
Oh, no. Big ups to the forces behind the Ahu Whenua Trophy kaupapa. Sadly, Kingy Smiler wasn't there. I'm told that he's recovering from an accident. But Ngāti Hine and their Kiwi Fruit Initiative, they were winners of a prize. My uncle, he won the Ahu Whenua Trophy way back in the 60s. I think a number of us as small boys went down to ceremony at Waitangi when he won the cup. I have some vague memory of that. The Zespri company came to see Winston and I some weeks ago, and I'm keen for them to work in the north and to make the patent rights to grow kiwi fruit more frequently in the north. They're unable at this stage to make kiwi fruit varieties available to multiply owned Māori landowners through a lease option. I had a crack at them in the local newspaper saying that if it's good enough for them to make lease option arrangements available to foreigners overseas, they should do it with Māori landowners here in New Zealand. I'm waiting to find out how they're going to treat that option.
I'm curious about that one too, and I'm pleased you did raise it. What's your gut feeling? Why should that be the case?
I guess that they raise revenue to maintain their head office and pay shareholders in Kiwi, in Zespri, through these very expensive licenses. But let's see how they treat it. They are a monopoly. There is a system for regularly reviewing the other monopoly. That's the Fonterra company. I'm going to catch up with them at Bistro Creek towards the end of the week, and they'll give me a briefing. I'm tempted to include their future and a part of our manifesto, if not the manifesto, go and campaign on it, because no monopoly is perfect and no monopoly exists in perpetuity without refinements. They have some very powerful members, and a number of their members, as they're entitled to, contribute to the ACT Party. So I do hope that they find a way to distribute the licenses to those types of landowners, such as our multiply owned landowners, who the government is trying to work with, quite frankly, to boost their productivity.
So we can accuse Zespri, or note that Zespri are prioritising international leases over New Zealand-based leases, yeah?
Yeah, I just think they need to evolve some of their practices. I don't know why they're unable to. There are a number of Māori landowners, I think 10 or 12%, they're already involved with Zespri, which is all ka pai. But if we want to boost and leapfrog the Māori involvement in areas like Northland, where we do have quite a lot of multi-owned land, and the government has tried to create more water storage proximate to Māori land holdings, then we do need these big powerful monopolies like Zespri to play a role. Now, it could be that there's just not enough interest in the owners of Zespri to do it. Well, I hope that they don't become too obstinate, and I hope they take the hint that New Zealand First would like them to show some pragmatism. If they don't, well, we'll have a crack at dealing with their intransigence through the upcoming election.
Tēnā koe. Now, the farming sector have had plenty of sway politically over the years. You're attending field days. Where are they sitting now? How much political influence are they demanding? What are they asking of you? And where do our people fit into this farming scene, bearing in mind much of the most productive land ended up in Pākehā hands through dubious sources? I'm sure you'll agree. So where is Māori farming sitting within the wider context? And as we go into field days, what are some of the issues around that space, Shane?
Well, a few years ago, I fell out with the farmers when I went to Mystery Creek in 2018, largely because I felt that they were disrespectful to our leader, Winston Peters. I've never, ever had huge expectations that the farmers were great supporters of New Zealand First. But, you know, the reality is that there are many men and women who are consistently getting up and milking the cows. They do rely progressively on migrant labour. But I don't go there with a sense of belligerence. I go there to learn and associate and engage with them. I grew up on a farm. I've still got lots of relatives who are in the farming sector. My own tribe, Te Opori, we've got several large farms. My belief is that they are regularly misrepresented, but I accept that the voting power is in metropolitan New Zealand, and metropolitan New Zealand have a set of expectations that the farming sector will continue to evolve and be good stewards of their environment, in terms of their environmental footprint. And we just need to be balanced. I don't buy into the notion that somehow farming is responsible solely for all of the environmental ills, as is the allegation put by Greenpeace and a variety of these other green benchies that I have zero tolerance for.
What sort of political sway does the farming sector have, do you think, political influence? And let's face it, most of it's sort of backing National, as it has across time. most of our people don't and are urban-based, do you think that the farming sector has more political influence than is appropriate?
No, I feel that there's quite a strong contest for the farming vote. The ACT Party puts a great deal of accent on winning over farmers. They have Mr. Hoggard, who used to be a farming leader. We have a significant identity from the farming world. That's Mr. Mark Patterson. He hails from the Murihiku area. Winston and I, we're no stranger to farming. Grant McCullum, he holds the seat of Northland. But I don't hold to the notion that just because farmers have historically flocked around national, that they are a decisive influence in New Zealand politics. I don't hold to that notion. They are one influence, and if they've got any clues, then they'll buy some insurance. They'll look at New Zealand First as well. But I have very modest expectations that they'll flock to support our leader, because over the years, they've made the right sounds and they've grunted occasionally in a positive way towards Winston, but they've never really turned out and backed us with a great deal of strength. So we treat them, I believe, with a suitable level of respect, but we have modest expectations in terms of the day of the ballot box. And many of their wives and whatnot voted for Jacinda in 2020. If they hadn't have, then how come she ended up winning all of those rural seats?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. Do you still consider her to be in political exile? How do you describe her decisions to base herself on?
I got my political language. Well, there's a few other things happening. I'm going to Whangarei today to address a bunch of lawyers. Every year I get invited to go and talk to a gathering of Whangarei lawyers. They have a range of questions they pose to me, and they generally ask me to hang around and have a bite to eat. So I'm going with a couple of my New Zealand First fellow travellers. I was at Waihee, not far from where your ancestry hails from in the Coromandel. 300 odd people, I think, turned up to listen to the gospel of growth and mining. A whole bunch of questions. I mean, generally when I have my public meetings, I try to talk for about 40 odd minutes. After that, I get a sense that people start to drift off, and then 20 odd minutes, 25 minutes of partai of questions. Some of them are curly questions, and they're not questions that, I mean, you can feel very uncomfortable with certain questions, Dale, but hey, I pit myself against my fellow New Zealanders when they ask me the questions. I've got my next meeting in Kaikoura. I've got a program of 35 meetings around, I mean, these are public meetings. I must have had four or five meetings last week, and this is something that Winston asked me to do. You never quite know, E Mara, whether or not having lots of public meetings has the penetration of an active TikTok campaign, but we're a slightly centre-right, mildly conservative party, and that's how we like to campaign, getting out amongst us, amongst our community. And it's a test whether people are going to give up their time on a Saturday afternoon and come and listen to a coho, a speech. So far, so good. You know, 300, 400, 500 people.
Yeah, old-school politicians and old-school styles. In the community, halls.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And naturally, the pakeha around that neck of the woods was not only the future of the dock estate, mining and infrastructure. Oh, there are a number of questions about the future of the Waitangi Tribunal, what to do about local government, and where do you draw the line in terms of imposition, local government reform, and leaving it with the locals. You know, people hear different things when you stand up and you answer questions. I always remember Helen Clark saying that you had to repeat, because you may get sick of listening to your own voice, because people often say to me, we get sick of listening to you, Shane. But politics is a way to develop a consistent message, and repeating it. It does collide a bit with that old Māori Well, I would, I don't know if you call it an inhibition or dimension there. Kore te kumara, kore o tana reka. You know, the kumara doesn't talk about how sweet it is. So from time to time, this kaitaia kumara does have to remind his audience that he's actually quite sweet.
Well, I guess so. I'm sure there are others who find it not quite to their taste buds.
Oh, they did make that point known to me yesterday when I was at the Ngātokowaru Marae for Fata's funeral. But I observed to them, I said, hey, I'm a politician. I've been coming to this marae since 1980 when I first moved to Wellington to do my third year at university.
Mm-hmm.
So all you whippersnappers who don't find me to be quite the dish that you hope to enjoy on your political menu, meet me at the ballot box. And don't for a moment think that I'm going to shy away from a debate either on the marae, in the university hall, in parliament, or on the community. You are picking on the wrong guy. So I know that other politicians, they tend to sort of shy away from going to these tangis nowadays because they easily turn into a jamboree for the Māori Party, or if you're the government, you tend to get a lot of stick, which never used to be the case in tangis in the past, but they've become very political now. Well, I love it. I love fighting. But then, as I learned when I went to Tariana's tangi, then the whole thing becomes about Shane Jones went to the marae, had a big row, ruined the tangi, so I tend not to go there because I just know people can't resist having a crack at me. And then they all have a tangi and then they run to the media if I give it straight back. So I tend to just go to the funeral now.
Interesting.
Which is a bit of a shame, actually, because there'd be very few people in the country who can match my style of oratory or language or knowledge of genealogy.
Well, I wouldn't dispute that. Interesting, and appreciate your kōrero. Thanks again, Shane. Have a good week. We'll talk again next.
Hey, good night, bro.
Tēnā koe.